Welcome to The Big Picture with your host, Harrison Newton.
Hit the subscribe and share the word.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I got one of my favorite guests, the Cookie Monster, back on today. So hello, Mr. Cookie Monster, Daniel Cook.
Hi.
That's a tough act to follow, eh? Do you do the Cookie Monster voice? I can't even do it. But it's great to have you back on the show, and what's exciting is that you're a completely different man. So what sits across me is a different man from the first episode, if you go back and listen. So if you go back and listen to his first episodes, basically the first two episodes on this podcast right now, there are some other episodes, but that's another story. But Daniel was renting, and he was on my side of the fence, and now you are the proud owner of a freehold
Jesus
section. You are now a proud owner of a house. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thanks.
How do you feel right now?
Well, I guess the thing is that, like you're saying before, the when I first came on this podcast, we talked for, I think it was over an hour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
About housing, and it was so bleak and so dark that when you listened back to it, you almost killed yourself and was like, "Nah, fuck this." I deleted it.
And I hope I can find it, because I don't know where it is. But it was horrible. I could barely listen through this hour of just misery that you were in about not owning a house.
And the funny thing,
and I was there too.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that thinking back to that interview, I don't think any of it has changed. I think, if anything, the stuff I was saying in that first interview is probably
still
worse.
Correct.
I think it's worse than what it was back then. I'm, like you say, now on the other side of the fence, but I think it still rings true. It's, you know, impossible. Things are getting worse for people that are renting now. If you're considering buying a house, the speed that the house prices are going up, and the size of the deposits growing, and then, you know, the right now there's a lot of tinkering from the government, which is putting a lot of fear into, you know, should you even go and get a house? Because what if the interest rates go up, you know, after the tinkering? Are you going to end up, you know, having to do a mortgagee sale? Or there's just so many sort of issues that when I didn't own a house, just really ripped me up. Like, it was, it just felt like an impossible wall. And because I have, you know, a wife and a kids, and I know it's very old school, but, you know, being the breadwinner or the provider is sort of the stereotype laid upon me, you know, that's the pressure. And it was like, okay,
at
any day now, my landlord is going to put a, you know, send me a message and say,
move,
you're out of here. You got 4 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it is, out in your ass, son. See you later. And then I'm going to have my daughter being like, Dad, why do we have to move house?
She's English.
Yeah, she's
English terrier.
Yeah, she was born here. We shipped her over to England. We brought her back.
Now she speaks like this, Daddy.
So
I'm cold.
Why didn't you buy in the dip, Daddy?
Why were you born at the wrong time? Nah. So, anyway, sounds cool.
So it was pretty bleak. But I now fortunately, through a mixture of hard work and family help.
Always family help.
I feel like you can't, I don't know if you, you know, hard work is, if you don't have the that family majority. Support is hard. You know?
Just because of the deposit rising, unfortunately.
That's right.
What got them out. Because you can leverage, and that's what the family's for normally these days.
Yep. So that's the probably the stupid part of the whole thing, is that if you are, and there's a lot of them out there, people estranged from their parents for some reason, or, you know, don't, you know, I don't know, lots of people I know don't speak to their parents anymore or aren't involved with them anymore, then you're up Schitt's Creek. Like, you know, if you do, have...
Daddy?
Why does this creek smell like shit, Daddy? Yeah, so... If you do have family that can help you with it, it's like they lend some of the equity to your purchase, which means it doesn't actually cost them anything. And then the stupid part about that is as your new home capital gain goes up, it pays off that equity and no money ever changed hands.
So it's like this massive leg up for people with family, even
in the housing, that have housing. Yeah, so it's like
doing nothing.
It's an intergenerational wealth situation.
Transfer.
Yeah.
And that's what we're not taxing at the moment.
A side thing, you know, because it's not like you have to wait for your parents to die. They can help their kids get into a house. And the reason that's an issue is, like, even if you're a, you know, you go to uni and then you have these massive school debts, you know, and then you work really hard, you get your way up in a career and you earn a good wage and your partner earns a good wage. It's still really hard to get a house at a reasonable price. And especially if you want to not live in the middle of nowhere or you know, in a leaky shithole or whatever. Like, if you want to just an all right standard of living, it's bloody hard to get there for young people now. And I mean, I'm old, don't get me wrong. There's a big sob story about why I'm an idiot. But yeah, so it's funny because now that I have a house, it's taken so much weight off me, so much stress off me. I do have, you know, worries about, will the interest rates go up? Will, you know, if something big happens to the house, I'm responsible for it. I haven't just got a landlord I can call and get them to pay for the fixes. But the thing is the sad part about it all is that I am paying a very small amount above what I was paying in rent. So,
which is like, what's the difference?
So I was,
and the difference in suffering.
And I was basically lining someone else's pocket while they were getting hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of capital gains, while I was paying enough rent
amount
that I could have been just having my own house anyway. And that's the sad part.
Damn.
About it is that, yeah.
And then they say, like, it's a fair argument. Like, how can you comprehend that? It just sucks.
Well, the sadder thing is, let's say,
like, it's just so shit for half the people.
Yeah, but if you brought your house, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, and you paid less than half of what it's worth now, your mortgage doesn't go up. You know, your mortgage doesn't double. Your mortgage stays the same as what it was back then. And
wow,
money doesn't mean the same thing anymore.
So all the young people have the big debt.
All of the young people have all of the risk, all of the big debt. And
because that's what that's the bad thing. The young people are suffering the most, and if this all goes belly up, the young people have the most debt.
Yep. So,
and we have student loan debt, and my dad didn't have student loan debt. He got paid to go to uni.
So that's the thing. If it does go belly up, and I mean, you always hear the argument about, oh, we used to pay high interest rates and blah 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 and things like that. But the thing is that, yeah, if it goes up again now, older people that have already got the vast majority of their capital in their housing won't be.
It would just
affected.
Be a bump.
It'll be a bump to them. For young people, it'll be selling their house and potentially being hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt with nothing to show for it. You know, so it is still a big risk, and it's young people definitely taking the risk. But I mean, one of the first things we did when we got a house was get a dog. Because we've wanted a dog for so long, but if you are renting and you get a dog, and I mean, it was in the news recently, you're screwed for looking for another place. You know, you have to get rid of the pet. And how do you get rid of something that's basically part of your family? Because if you step up to a rental place and you're like, hey, I've got a dog or something, and then they've got, you know, 30 other people that have applied that don't have dogs, they're not going to pick you.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like a hassle.
Yeah, so to me, it's like, that's... it's a class thing that already exists. The homeowners
are the dog
owners. Yeah. And the thing about there's great, really positive things about owning dogs. All sorts of positive things about owning dogs. It's great for children as well. You know, it's companionship. It's all of this, but you have to be wealthy enough to afford the, you know, ability to own one. Not to feed it or keep it healthy or take it to the vet or whatever, but to just be of the class where you're allowed a dog, you know, or allowed to make a change to your house or something like that.
Wow.
It's it's one of those things that was the big moment where it was like I felt free. You know, I didn't feel like I was under someone else's thumb all of a sudden because I had a dog, you know, and it's such a simple thing. And the dog's brought such joy to all, like my whole family's life. You know, we love having the dog, and it's something that you just couldn't do as a renter, which is pretty grim. And the other thing as well is the house that I've got, it's not a brand new house or anything. It's a house from the 70s that sort of, you know, had stuff done to it. But I'm fucking proud of that house, you know, and every little thing in that house I have, you know, fixed door handles or, you know, just really minor stuff just all over the place and made it my own. And it's a sense of pride about where you live, and I take really good care of it. And I used to pay someone to mow the lawns when I was renting. And now I have a lawnmower and I mow the lawns myself.
Because you have pride.
It's nothing about like, oh, I can't, you know, because the cost of a lawnmower versus paying for someone to do it, you know, like it's still an expensive cost, it's a lot of your time, but it's a pride thing. And the good thing about that means that if you think about housing and stuff, there's always complaints about, you know, how tenants treat the houses and things like that. Well, if more people own their house, they'd treat it well, right? Like you'd be a lot more,
and that would uplift society. And like, because that's the thing, if you have skin in the game, if you have pride in your house because it's yours, like the community lifts.
That's so exactly right.
So home ownership makes better communities too.
And the other side of that is that when you're renting, you move around a lot more. Now that I own a home, like I have no plans to move from my house. Like, you know, I'm very, very happy there.
Oh,
and we've met all of the neighbors and they're all homeowners as well. They've been there forever. So there is a sense of old school community in respect to people know your name. People know who you are.
Because
kids go to school together. You know, like there's all of that sort of thing.
Where
holding still is a real benefit, especially for having children. Holding still and not shifting them around schools, which is one of the biggest, you know, reasons kids go sort of wayward. It's a massive benefit you just can't sort of get. And after renting so long, I mean, when we moved into places, we'd go introduce ourselves to our neighbours and stuff. But obviously, being renters, we were living in areas where renters were as well. And then the neighbours would change, you know, like a month later, and like no one really knew anyone. And there's a sense of security when you own a home and the person next to you owns a home. And I guess the other thing is longevity. You tend to be, and I would hope that they would be more respectful to you as well, because it's like, well, we're stuck in this together. It's not like I'm just going to fuck off in a 6 months' time when my lease is up, you know? So I can only really speak positives of it. And I guess the thing is when I was renting, I was looking at capital gains and being like, this is a terrible thing, you know, it's awful. Now it's like I'm in that situation where it's like, fuck, I need those capital gains to go up to help, you know.
Oh, so you've flipped sides.
Yeah.
You're a homeowner now. But this is where I've realized no one wins, because homeowners have such big mortgages that they're like, this has to go up, because if it goes down, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
So that's why this is where it comes to my point, like, no one's winning in this system. Homeowners or renters, like homeowners are pulling their hair out if this inflation happens or if interest rates go up. They're going to be pulling their hair out. We're pulling our hair out because we can't even get anything. So why do we do it?
Well,
why don't we change how we do it? Why the banks are stressing us out and we don't know. They have good, nice adverts, but the banks are like, locking us into these 30-year mortgages.
Yeah, well, when you say locking us in, you're talking about they're locking young people in, first-time home owners and things like that. It's
with the 3,000,
because even if you owned one investment property, if shit hits the fan and you have to sell it, if you bought it 10 years ago, you're probably going to pay off that mortgage and pay off a bit of your own mortgage, if not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the people that are winning are the people that already, you know, that have already hoarded all of the houses, basically.
Well, and we're just tinkering it at the moment. There's not much reshuffling going on.
No, and the thing is that the thing about having capital in your house, that if you have owned a house for a long time, if you do go to the bank and you're like, hey, I want to buy a $30,000 car, they're going to be like, yep, sweet, here's 30 grand. Do you know what I mean? If you have capital in your house, so, or if you want to go for a holiday, like just the fact of owning a house, it doesn't even matter if you're highly skilled or highly paid or anything like that. It affords you a life that people that don't own a house can't have. Because if you're renting, the bank's not going to be like, here, yeah, here's 30, 40 grand to do something.
It's interesting. The banks are nice to you, but only when you're in their good books. Like, the banks come down hard as, don't they?
So that's the thing that
I... So they're not your buddies.
No, that's the thing I've heard from pretty much everyone that's brought a house was like, getting on that ladder, getting that first house, the banks were really tough to deal with. There was so much back and forth and, you know, it was quite a struggle to get there. But once you're there and you have a little bit of capital, then yeah, they bend over and let you do what they want. You know, like it doesn't matter. Like that, no one gets questioned about anything. You're in the club. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So I mean, and there is already that sort of class difference in New Zealand, if you will. You know, where you do have a homeowner and non-homeowner. And I mean, owning a dog's a good example of that. But stability for your family, you know, you've got no guarantee when you're renting that you'll be staying in the same place.
And no pride, because I get that. Like, I'm such a handyman, but what do I do? Do I try and nail up a picture frame now that it's become legal to do so, you know?
But even then, you still wouldn't want to risk it in fear of pissing off your landlord and then them being like, yep, sweet, here's your notice. And then you've got to go start all over again somewhere else because they've got a line of people that would be happy to take your spot. For hanging up, you know, nailing in one nail.
Wow, and I really deserve that punishment. That feels fair.
Exactly. It's a strange thing. Is the other thing as well is that, let's say if you did buy some properties years ago, and the thing that irks me is like the older landlords that think they're some kind of fucking genius.
Magician.
Yeah, no, they think they're so clever for buying something all of those years ago.
Big brain stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, they know best and all of that.
Wise.
Yeah. But it's I don't know. It's a bit of luck. Yeah.
It's too much luck. That's why it's not fair, because it's lucky.
Because it's lucky to be born at that time and to be like.
But even some of them missed out. Some of them missed out big time. Some of them are struggling so much right now.
Yeah. But if you were, let's say, if you did own a house ages ago and then you prices did go up and interest rates came down, and you'd be like, oh, I've got some money. You know, what the fuck is a stock exchange? Or do you know what I mean? Like, in New Zealand, it's like, oh, we'll just throw more money into property. And that's been, for a long time, that's been the only avenue for New Zealanders that had a bit of capital would be like, put it back into more housing. And so it's like what everyone did, you know? It's just something that everyone did. And, yeah, I guess the thing is that it's like, you've got a lot of people with a lot of money that don't ever... qualification, or they don't have like
they didn't,
you know,
do
like
too
a,
much
a huge skill, like, you know,
they weren't no wizard or,
no, it's this is regular folk that are super fucking wealthy for just being born at the right time and just doing the status quo, you know.
Wow. Is that a good place to end it?
No, probably not. But I really do think that, like, the solution is just more home ownership.
More home ownership.
It's just as simple as that. Like,
how do we get more home ownership?
Because the thing I fear is obviously, like, as that divide grows, we're going to have increased homelessness and crime. And so, I mean, if that all increases, you know, owning multiple houses and being rich isn't going to save you from high levels of crime all around you. You know, like it's one of those things that if we want society as a whole to be better and safer, then we need a lot more financial equality, you know, opportunities to people that aren't just born into wealth, which is where we already are, in my opinion.
And the problem with that is because, like, that crime doesn't disappear because more people are poor, that's when gated communities happen, mm-hmm. and it segregates.
Yep.
Like the classes all segregate, and the richer people go behind gated communities, and there's way more gated communities around these days.
So for me, like, with even though I have my house, I'm of the opinion, like, I've got my house now, I've got my mortgage, I can pay that mortgage over my 30 years or whatever, right, and just live a fucking normal life. Like, I'm not one of those scheming to get rich all of the time guys, you know, like, even if I had a whole lot of capital, I'd be that. Like, yeah, let's, I'm gonna go buy a whole lot of property and be a landlord or whatever.
I'd probably be like that. It was so bad,
but it's just not in my nature. I just wanted all I wanted was stability for my family, and I finally feel like I have stability for my family. I feel like I can support and protect my, like, wife and kids, you know, like, and that was the most important thing to me.
And I guess the fundamental thing, though, is, are you happier?
Yeah, way, way happier, way, way less stressed, way less sort of just down on myself or down on society as a whole, you know, like, it's funny how quickly it's like it all just disappears. Like, house price, now that I own a house, I don't give a fuck about house prices. You know, like, it's not in the forefront of my mind every day when I wake up like it was, because as a renter, it just always was on my mind as someone, you know, hunting to look for a house, you know, wanting to get into the house market. It was just all I thought of, and it's just such a massive stress. And I know I'm fortunate with family and with, you know, income and things like that. But there's a lot of people that don't have those opportunities, and they're not any lazier than I am. They just were not born into those opportunities like
unlucky,
I were, and it's just unfair, you know?
Yeah.
A person who...
Oh, it just hurts. Yeah, it hurts to hear.
Yeah, but a person who works hard and wants it should be able to get it, but that's just, it's not the situation, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
So where to forward? But how do we solve this? Why don't we solve it now?
I mean, the only real solution is it's kind of, it's like we've gone too far already anyway. Like, it's you know, everyone says too big to fail when you've got the government,
a balloon of debt.
It's a balloon or a bubble, but it's like covered in iron, you know. It's not dishwashing detergent, it's like rock solid. And you've got all of the politicians who make the rules all owning housing and investment properties themselves. They're not going to let it, you know,
pop.
They're not going to let it pop when they've got skin in the game, you know, which makes it even harder. And then the only people that statistically get out and vote are people that own houses, right? Like, if you own a house, you're more likely to vote.
Because you care.
Because you can care. Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, imagine if we had more people owning houses, more people respecting where they live, more people having dogs, more people having children that aren't moved around and having a more stable life, creating more stable adults. It is home ownership, but it's the greed of the few over the many, right? Like, because there's a lot of people in New Zealand that that are just hoarding all of the houses for their own personal gain
and for their kids. And I understand that. Like, why not gift your kids these properties
mm-hmm.
that you have hoarded? And like, I gotta admit, I know, like, basically everyone does it because you have to. And this is where it gets back to the sad fact that everyone just wants to look after their family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the system doesn't work, because it incentivizes, like, everyone to like, be paranoid.
Mm.
And I think we can reform it, because why not? Like, we got land here. We can bring new systems in place to make it so that we can bring back community. They're like, oh, we want to reduce suicide deaths in New Zealand. Wow. I wonder what, like, 90% home ownership would do, you know? I wonder what giving people that purpose in life would do.
Mm.
Because that's what people need, is a purpose.
Mm.
And when you're renting and, like, you know, like, I don't know, having a house is a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to be proud of. It's something to design and put in and fix up and paint.
Exactly. It's creativity. It's a hobby. It's It is lots of really, really positive things. There's very few negatives of owning. I mean, the risk is really the only negative of owning a house, you know, and the fact that you have to, you know, pay for things. Like, there's a lot of surprise costs if something breaks, just like the landlord would have, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is if you own your house and you are going up in capital gains and things like that, it's just part of what you do, right? Like the bank, like I said before, the bank's, you know, if you come into that situation, the bank's going to throw money at you if you've got capital in your house. And the thing is even if capital gains stop, people are paying off mortgages over 30 years, right? Which means that in 30 years, they will be freehold. Right, so it's not like, oh, all of a sudden capital gains stop, everyone's going to be poor. It's just like, no, they'll just be paying off those loans like they normally would anyway, without the, you know, getting this extra on top sort of thing.
Yeah, so it'd be more fair.
But yeah, it's just like when we're in a situation now where, like I said, it's too big to fail. The people that make the rules are invested in it themselves. Like, how do you tell people that own a whole lot of properties, oh, time to give them up or sell them to people that need them or whatever?
I know,
it's just not the way life works, you know?
Exactly. And it sounds very much like communism. But because they've worked hard on it and they've worked really hard in their life, they feel like it is theirs. And in a way, you know, it is. But it's like, how do we improve this? Like, we actually really got to look. Singapore, for example, has 95% homeowner occupancy rates because the government does it for them. So there's like step ladders mm-hmm. that you go up through mm-hmm. your life and you can reach different levels. But basically the government forces you to pay into like a fund that then you use for your house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in Samoa is the best solution. What happens in Samoa, it's the first country ever I've been to in the world that had a different housing, you know, not private property, because it was all family owned. And so you would be gifted a plot of land. Like, the whole lifestyle was different because there was no debt. So imagine a system in society without $1 million debt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how much that would free our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Because housing is shelter and it's a necessity.
Yeah, yeah.
We're at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of need. It's food, water, shelter. That's what we need.
Mm.
Well done. Like, we're at the bottom of Maslow hierarchies and needs in the 21st century.
Mm.
We've come all this way to be worried about shelter.
Yeah.
But if we could get rid of that, then we can go up and we can fulfill our potential. We can be the filmmakers. We can make podcasts. We can do stuff. but we need to change the system.
But the way that the system's built is that, you know, every, well, let's say for an example, a brand is owned by a bigger brand, and then that bigger brand that is owned by an even bigger brand, and there's only so many sort of mega corporations in the world, right? And they're so big that they're bigger than governments, and they control, you know, they have...
Oh, put your tinfoil hat on.
Well, they do. They do have sway into the rules, right? Like, oh, the way
especially
because
it's all run from the States.
Yeah.
The pulse is in the America.
Oh, yeah,
and
the States
that's
is corrupt
heart.
As fuck. So,
but that's the heart of the world economy.
So that's sort of the issue. And yeah, it's a, I don't know how we change that to make people more human. Because if you think about it, like you were saying before, it's like they're doing it to look after their kids, right? And it's like, it's my kids. And it's like, okay, well, would you happily stomp on someone else's kid? And then I'd say, then you'd have a next level, which would be, no, I wouldn't stomp on a Kiwi kid. And then it's like, okay, well, would you stomp on a kid from like an impoverished country?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
But that's where it's a natural reaction to care more for your own. And that's fine. Sort of.
But that's the thing, is it's created that situation where people do... want the best for their kids. And I mean,
it's a scary world because that's the system, because it's so scary and it runs off fear. Like, these banks literally pump news about the prices going up that just freaks people out, and then the real estate agents are like, buy. And it, like, it's this whole industry is run off fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad that our whole life is revolved around fear. And looking at you today, the sad thing is you are a different man. You look different, Daniel.
Well, I said,
you look like the real cookster.
Yeah, I feel more free. I just do. It's just the sad truth of the situation, you know. Like once
you're liberated,
once you yeah, for sure. And I feel like you know, I remember saying to you before I had the house, like, I'm just going to work till I die, or I'll end up homeless eventually because my my income won't cover the cost of rent. And what am I going to do? We're just going to have a whole lot of old homeless people around because, you know, they'll cut the pension because it'll be too expensive to keep running. And, you know, like,
yeah,
old people are basically going to be, and when I say old people, I don't mean current old people. I mean, the young people now in the future are going to be screwed.
Yeah, because they're going to be running up some debts because we're not taking enough tax money in. Because we're not taxing intergeneration wealth or capitals. Unlike basically all the other OECD countries. Like, we're the only country that doesn't do capital gains. It's crazy.
Yeah. What will be interesting in the future that we haven't really seen en masse yet is, and because, like, our parents and grandparents are still relatively wealthy, what happens in the future when the wealth does concentrate more and you have, I don't know, let's say my children or my grandchildren, they go to school, they get massive debts, they rent their whole life, or they die with a whole lot of debt. Does that debt then get passed down to their children? And is there a future cycle of massive poverty and massive divide coming, you know?
And, you know, the sad thing is what you're talking about has been in a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
You're talking about going through a wheel because you can never provide shelter for your family. So you're just sprinting, but you're going nowhere. But you're getting exhausted and you're killing yourself to go nowhere. But you're out of the wheel, man. Look at you.
But here's the thing, though. I'm still in the wheel because I've still got to pay that mortgage, right? Which means
there's a bigger wheel.
There is a bigger wheel because now it's like, realistically, let's say the company I work for.
My old company.
Yeah.
RIP.
I mean, just say any company, right? Like if you're married and you have a mortgage, you're probably going to get more loyalty and more work out of them because that job means, and stability means much more to them, right? So then not only are you going to have a more comfortable life in that respect, you are probably going to have to work harder, but you'll probably get treated better as well. Yeah, and you'll be more respected as, like, this person's got something to lose now. So, you know, they're married to the company.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So much for not going dark, eh?
I feel like we did the darkness as well as we could. We navigated that. It's a tough, heavy topic, but wow, we did navigate that. We didn't provide the solutions today, but maybe we do that in a future episode, shall we?
Yeah, I mean, I really...
We'll sort it all out.
Oh, yeah, we're going to save the world.
Oh, I like that. I do like that. We'll do some big presentations and we'll save the world that way. So thanks everyone for listening, and thank you, Daniel, for coming on.
No worries. Sorry to bring everyone down there. Life is good. Life is happy.
It is happy for you now.
I'm a very happy man. Yes. Harrison's smiling here. He's happy too. It's not all gloom and doom. We'll forget about this conversation 10 minutes later.
Not for you. Not for you. Okay, guys, thanks for everything. Make sure to follow the Instagram page. The Instagram page is really popping, and it's a good time, so check it out. It's at TheBigPictureNZ, so it's just at TheBigPictureNZ. Follow along because I love posting on it, and it's new stories every day. So I'll talk to you guys soon. That was an epic episode.
That was The Big Picture. Hit the subscribe and share the word.